Welcome to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend.
So Tim, this morning we've got Amy Small from Small Local Brokers with us, and you actually had the pleasure of meeting Amy once when I couldn't go to a breakfast in Newcastle and you went in my position.
I do remember.
Yeah, it was early morning for you and you're not a morning guy.
Yeah,
it was probably a bit tiring, but you'll probably agree Amy was the funnest person at that breakfast.
Absolutely, a bright shining light that none of it, the rest of us were.
Yeah, exactly.
So, oh, I'm going to come back.
Yeah, well, how have you been though? Like, how's lockdown treating you at the moment?
Besides the stir crazy part, it's okay. It has its ups and downs. We're doing homeschooling here as well, so I'm sure similar to yourself, we're, you know, delegating the roles and how that works, and sort of managing working from home as well in a time where the real estate and mortgages are so needed and required. It's very busy, and
it's a lot happening.
It's a lot.
Well, I guess people need somewhere to lock down to. So, Tim, as you know, Amy's a mortgage broker. So she assists clients in, you know, getting their finance sorted out to purchase property. And what's the market been like at the moment, Amy?
It's been crazy. And I have clients in both New South Wales and Canberra, and it's just gone absolutely nuts. People, I suppose, in lockdown, you're looking exactly where you're living, and if you're not loving it, what are you going to do about it? And that's, I think that's sort of where it stemmed from. And then on top of that, there's a whole lot of new government grants and schemes to help and encourage people to build, to buy, and to upgrade what they currently have. So it's resulted in a really busy time, and that means prices increase, but an exciting time because people are having these dreams come true that they wouldn't have normally thought was possible before.
So a lot of people don't know what a mortgage broker is, and I think that, you know, there's obviously a process to apply for finance and go through that rigmarole with a bank and stuff. What is a mortgage broker, and where do they come in that process?
Yeah, so a mortgage broker or a finance broker, if someone specializes outside of just mortgages, is sort of the intermediary that brings the borrower and a bank together. So they don't use their own funds. I'm not a bank myself, but I gather all the paperwork from the borrower and process that paperwork through to a bank or a lender, so that I can secure an approval and help that goal and dream come true.
And what's the, I mean, you might be a bit biased in this answer, but that's okay. We won't tell anyone. But what is the benefit of using a mortgage broker in that kind of process
instead of a bank? The differences between using a mortgage broker and going direct to a bank is the mortgage brokers are free, so there's no cost to you to use a mortgage broker. In most cases, there is a mortgage broker will have access to more than one bank. So, for example, I have access to over 40 banks to secure finance. Another big key is while a bank can say, all right, I have five different loans I can offer you and that's it, I can go and go, right, well, I've got bank A, B and C and they all have five products and this one's the cheapest and this one's going to save you the most. I'm actually bound by a new law that was released in January to find the best loan for whoever's in front of me. And so it's called a best interest duty. So I'm bound by law to find the best result for someone's needs and goals. I was doing that before the law came in anyway, but it means that you can be assured that instead of you doing all the legwork and doing all the hard work of going to bank to bank to bank to try and find the best deal for yourself, you can have someone do it for you. And in this time where you're trying to juggle life, isn't it nice to have someone do that for you?
So, Amy, I want to do a little bit of role play with you. So sure. let's pretend.
Watch out, Amy. Actually, Amy is a secret theatre like buff and does like performances and things. So no expectations, Amy. Like, you know,
I'll put my like, Oscar, yes, I'll put my yeah. Oscar winning role on.
All right. So we'll call Gil Glenda and I'll be Elphaba for the purpose of this role playing.
I love this.
Let's just say Gil and I were in a relationship and we've now separated. Gil's going to retain the former matrimonial home and there's going to be a refinance process with that. And as part of that, I've left the relationship and I've found a great new place that I want to buy. So we're, you know, separated, we've gone through the process, we've got our orders or whatever, we've done a financial agreement or we've finalized that process. When we come to a mortgage broker after going through that family law process, what kind of documents do you need? What do you need us to kind of get ready and get organized so that we can, you know, keep that process moving quickly? And what do you need from us to make this whole thing as easy as possible?
Yeah. So generally when this happens, Elphaba and Glenda, is if you have even the draft orders or a separation agreement that sort of gives an outline of out of the home, if there is any money to be passed over to help you, Elphaba, purchase your next property, and Glenda, if you need to be able to have finance to cover your now you're taking over that home, first off is that separation agreement so that the bank can have a bit of clarity where that's going. It doesn't need to be final orders, but sort of the first few drafts once that's an agreement has been reached. Then from there, the documents required are ID, income. So we need to be able to prove that you can afford the new goals, the new borrowing.
What documents to verify income do you need? Is it payslips or an employment contract?
Specifically, if you're working for someone, you'll need 2 payslips and your group certificate. If you are self-employed, generally it's 2 years tax returns, notice of assessments. Self-employed is a little bit more complicated in that space, but if you're working for someone, it generally 2 payslips and a group certificate is enough to prove income. We also need statements to verify your current conduct on any current liabilities like the home, if there's a home loan, and statements on your everyday spending so we can clarify that your current expenses on top of your income and then what is left is what you're able to pay in repayments.
Oh, bugger, they're going to see my boredom spending for COVID.
Yeah, they will. They will. That's right. And I mean, some banks are a little bit more tricky and they really go through line by line. And then there are some banks that will not look as deeply into that. So it does make a big difference of what your expenses are.
So then you think about that and the process of gathering documents and stuff, that will assist you to give advice in terms of getting a loan across the line or thinking about, you know, this bank is probably more amenable to your situation or your circumstances or what the case may be.
Yeah, that's correct. So once I have all the information, if there's such thing as child support income now being received, family tax benefit income now being received on top of normal income, I will then, once I have gathered all that information, including the expenses and the current debts, I then are able to facilitate to find the banks that are going to suit that type of loan or that type of need. So some banks don't accept child support income and some banks don't like self-employed income. So it's finding the banks that suit the financial situation best and also providing a great rate and a good turnaround time and fitting whatever the other priorities for that client is. So if you like a fixed rate or if you prefer a variable rate, these all banks have different specials and different discounts. So it's putting all that information together and then having a chat together and presenting what I've found and going through the benefits and features of each of those options and recommendations.
Yeah. And I mean, in addition to, I guess, those recommendations, what other kind of incentives or schemes are out there at the moment that might help separating couples or like one parent families?
Yeah, so there's a really big one that just started in July, and it's been a game changer for a lot of single parents that didn't think that they could get into the market before. Generally, if you're looking to buy a home, and even if you've bought a home before, that means you're looking at stamp duty as well. But generally, you also have to have a 5% deposit. With this scheme, you're able to proceed in purchasing a home with only 2%. A 2% deposit plus purchasing costs. So this is available for people, single parents that have either purchased before or never purchased before. It's available for, it's 21 banks have joined in on this scheme. The scheme means the government is paying for your lender's mortgage insurance, so you're not required to pay that. Mm-hmm. So potentially this is a saving of up to $16,000, which a lot of single parents, I know how hard it is to save or be able to generate that deposit in the first place, to actually have that reassurance that the government's also going to pay that for you. It's just meant that I've been able to help people, single parents, get into homes for their family years earlier than what they expected.
Yeah.
It really has been a game changer.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, wow. So then that process, and talking about, especially I know that the banks during COVID and especially last year, things slowed down. And I think that wasn't just restricted to the banks. I think it was everybody as we learned how to do business in a global pandemic.
Mm.
But in terms of the timeline and getting things done, what is the most common impediment to getting a loan and how do you fix that problem?
I suppose the most common impediment... there's a lot of different ones, but a good one that I do come across very often that can really stop the process of getting an approval is having a default or a mark on your credit file during a separation process. Things like loans not being paid or debts not being paid, they will be reported monthly to your credit report, comprehensive credit report. So if that's the case, the bank, when the new bank that is looking to approve your loan will actually see 2 years worth of loan repayment history. And if your repayments have not been completed on time, this can actually detriment you getting an approval. So defaults and having just getting onto your credit, getting a copy of your comprehensive credit report from either Equifax or Vida is a great way to just have a look, make sure that your loan is being paid on time, that there's no defaults that you haven't seen before, that could really stop you from being able to get an approval.
We see that a lot. People in, you know, the course of family law proceedings, people stop paying the mortgage or people do things like that when there's a dispute as to various issues and things. So that could potentially have consequences for what their future looks like moving out of separation and going forward, you know.
That's correct. So there are banks that will still accept this type of loan, but there is a cost involved. The rate is higher, the fees are higher. It can mean that it's going to take a little longer for you to move forward by those results, by those consequences.
And so when you get approval, let's look at the positive side of things. Once you get approval, how long do those approvals normally last for? Like, when should people be locking in their approval, like, rather than just, you know, testing the waters?
So in a separation, I have a lot of clients come to me and just initially get a pre-approval. So we're sort of in the middle of the process of negotiation, not quite sure what the end result will be. So we get a pre-approval hypothetically so that the bank can see, okay, in this type of scenario, yes, it's everything else is okay, tick, 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 and here are some conditions to be able to make that happen. So those pre-approvals they last 3 months. And after that, I generally am in contact again, making sure the financial position is still the same, and then we can reissue another 3 months. With that scheme specifically, it'd be the same thing. We apply for a spot, it lasts 3 months, and then we need to make sure there's still spots available by the time that if we needed to go again. After we have a formal approval, so the agreement's been reached, we've gone from pre-approval to formal approval, then generally that's another 3 to 6 months as well.
Is that the same as conditional and unconditional approval?
Yeah, so conditional is like a pre-approval. Those two words are ultimately meaning the same thing. So it's pre-approved. Conditioned means it's approved with conditions, so pre-approved. And then unconditional is your formal approval. So there's two ways that banks like to use those words. So formal approval and unconditional is the same. Conditional approval and pre-approval is the same.
So, and this might be outside of the square of, I guess, the family law stuff, but what's the best thing you've ever had to apply for a loan for?
Oh, fun-wise?
Yeah. We're all about the fun.
Yeah, I've done a huge, well, I really enjoyed like huge equipment. That's fun. So you get to find out that things you never ever learnt about equipment in mining,
like farming,
and things like that.
Farming equipment.
Pardon?
Like farming equipment.
Farming equipment, cranes. I've done printers. I've done a fish tank for an office. I know. It's been a lot of these weird and wonderful requests have been a lot of fun to do, but generally it comes down to the best fun I have is the people. So just the reason that with that scheme, that has been the biggest. That helps me get up in the morning with this lockdown is helping single parents be able to actually buy again when they wouldn't have.
Can I say that's a game changer, that process to help people get into the housing market? That's really good.
What a life changer. It's that's probably been the biggest one this month is that scheme coming in.
And you think people are taking the opportunity? People are taking the opportunity and running with it? Like it's a good... It sounds amazing. It sounds like it's really going to help people get into the
market. Yeah, that's right. It really has. So, for example, if you want to purchase a home for $400,000, you could potentially do that with $8,000.
Wow. That is amazing. And, I mean, I guess, you know, it's why Tim, as part of our process, kind of sending clients out to information gather, because we don't know about that stuff. I mean, that's not our part of that transaction. Is really important. Like, I think it's really good to know this stuff.
It's really good to know this stuff. So then one thing that we like, and we're a bit vexed in this, because as lawyers, we're actually not meant to take gifts. But we do. People are, you know, I think Gil and I are quite lucky. We have really lovely clients who are very grateful for the work that we do. And we ask the same of you. Do you get presents? Do you get things? Like, it's a big moment, someone buying a new house.
Occasionally we've gotten a bouquet of flowers or a box of chocolates or something like that. It's really, again, not able to accept anything like monetary gifts or anything like that. But a bouquet of flowers or something like that has been a really lovely gesture for those occasions that lives have been changed. And that's sort of what I really love about what I do is those goals being met.
And do you think things are slowing down now because of COVID, or do you think things are speeding up?
They're not slowing down at all. Not at all. Everyone, because we're home, we're looking at what we're living in, and I think that people are going, well, I don't like that anymore.
Time to upgrade.
Let's change. Yeah.
That's really exciting.
One thing about being in lockdown, and Tim, you might not know this, but Amy, on the times that I've met her, often has the best promotional biscuits you've ever tasted in your life.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, they're these amazing shortbreads with, like, you know, sometimes those biscuits have, like untasty icing.
Those
ones are great, and they're super pretty. But I guess, you know, one of my questions is, how do we get biscuits now that you're in lockdown? Like, what's happened to the supply? Because, you know, I was down for it.
Oh, I know. Supplies run dry, and I think that's probably I need to speak to my cookie maker because I'm not making them.
Yeah, they were amazing. But, yeah.
It's kind of like I need to speak to my champagne maker because I'm not making the champagne.
That sounds good too.
How about we swap cookies for champagne and see how we...
Why don't we have our next meeting with cookies and champagne?
Oh, my God, I think that's a wonderful idea.
That's so big, yeah.
I'm on board.
All right, well, look, it's been good chatting to you today. I think that's been super interesting in terms of some of those schemes that are available. As I said to you, Tim, Amy's the nicest mortgage broker I've ever met. So
go, Amy.
Tricked her. Tricked you.
Look, I'm pretty gullible and easily fooled. But look, good luck in lockdown. Have fun, stay busy, and we'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Amy. Thanks. Really appreciate your time.
Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to I Do, I Sue, a family law podcast with Timothy Nichols and Gillian Yeend. To find out more about your hosts and what they do, visit chamberlains.com.au. And now, here's the bit the boss insisted we say. The information in this podcast is for general educational purposes only. None of the content should be considered legal advice. Please don't make decisions based on the information in this podcast without seeking professional legal advice of your own. For more information, visit chamberlains.com.au.